Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million. Didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke. Don't do
if I had $1 million.
Going off back to Action Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. This is Matt Warman on the board. I think we have Mr. Brennan Cornan. I think, Matty, you're going to have to change that intro to if I had $1 billion. $1 million is nothing. Brennan's got $1 million at one bank, for God's sake. Just saying. S&P futures up 40, NASDAQ futures up 275.
Well, if you pour into a 401k for 40 some years, I mean, you'll get there.
He was 50. Plus, he got matched by everybody, and he's got four or five pensions. I mean, it's nice.
There you go.
Gets a new car every year from one of the dealerships that they showed favor to while they were in office, you know, type of thing.
I'm going to have to defend myself here because none of that is true. It's all fake news, Chief.
So, what happens if. If the wife wants a Mercedes and the dealership that gives you a car, is a Jeep.
Well, you know, pretty soon I won't be able to buy a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
No. Well, plus our 100 grand.
Well, they're changing the name.
Yeah. I think, do we need to go back to where people have to work all day? On the way in this morning, I couldn't help but listen to somebody in California is introducing a bill that says it's a $1,000 fine for department stores to have boys and girls toy section, that they should be gender neutral.
Well, you know, there's a point where these kind of things become ridiculous.
In whose mind? In your mind, I think they're already way past that, but other people think we're just getting started.
Yeah, that's true. But we're talking about rational people here, so whatever you and I decide should be the way it goes.
Yeah. Plus, I never saw any girl, if she walked over to the side where there was a baseball mitt or something and grabbed one, like she got arrested or anything. I mean, what's the difference? Who cares what the sign says?
I agree.
Just saying, you know. I'm right there
with you. There comes a point where all of this type of stuff becomes a little bit insane.
Yeah, I don't quite get it all. But yesterday we were actually neither one of you guys here. Matty was in Florida, and happy 1 year anniversary, Matty.
Yeah, thank you.
We got it in just
1 year. One year of being married. Congratulations.
A week or two before all the problems happened. So there, I got to believe yours was like the last wedding in that area, Matty.
Yeah, we got married March 7th, 2020, and then March 14th, everything was beginning to shut down. So that was, we were kind of the last Saturday that was fully open in Chicago,
and
in most of the country.
And I don't recall any mass or social distancing at the wedding, and I don't think anybody got sick.
No, no one got sick, fortunately, because, you know, like, we had some older people there, including my grandmother. But no one got sick, and at that time, it was sort of the last, like I said, the last Saturday where people, didn't fully know what was coming, maybe didn't fully take it seriously, maybe right or wrong, I don't know, but that's where we were. We were very fortunate. When you randomly pick a day, you know, a year or a year and a half in advance, and then it happens to land right at the back end.
So what happened to the people like the next week? They were just out?
What do you mean?
I mean, they said you can't have it, and they're still waiting or what?
Well, they could still get married, but they couldn't hold the reception.
Yeah, so we had several friends and family members that had weddings scheduled in, you know, June, August, September, October, and most of them delayed them by a year, and so they're going to have them this year. Some of them just got married at the courthouse and decided they'll do a reception at a later date, and that's it. And then two of them just had them outdoors completely and just had them anyway, and that's what they did.
I tell you what, if I had a quarter for every person who has died, or any person who, I suppose, married that went to the courthouse and was going to have a reception at a later date. I don't think any one of those occurred. I've met not one person I know that has died, and many have, that we're going to have the service at a later date. I've never seen the service yet. Just saying. I don't know.
You're saying that anyone that said they're going to have a service at a later date, they never actually do?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you might be. I don't know. You might be right.
I mean,
I don't know about that either. I do know that, like Manny said, there are some people who went ahead with church weddings with smaller gatherings inside and decided to have the reception at a later date, maybe to celebrate their one-year anniversary. Manny could throw another big party.
That wouldn't be so bad. I enjoyed the first one.
Yeah, it was fun. We had, you know, we only had one group cancel, and that was my cousin who is in Seattle and his family. At the last minute, Seattle shut down the week before because they were a hot spot right in the beginning. And he called me and said, like, the airports are closed. He goes, I don't think we're going to be able to make it. But everyone else came from all parts
of
the country.
Well, if he didn't show up and he sent the gift, that's beautiful.
And he did send a nice gift. So, yeah, it was it worked out.
There you go. Brendan, the craziness that's kind of going on, and when did we infect our... I don't know, how can I say this nicely? There's no way. Could we possibly require a freshman year in college class in economics before you became a representative or a senator?
That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? I think they need both an economics class and a civics class.
Well, in our population, this is so special. As long as I'm going to call us all. Are we all dogs? As long as there's a big prime rib dinner and somebody wings us a bone, we're okay.
I thought you were going to say, "Are we all going to be dogs because of the whistle that gets blown?"
Well, that too. This idea: as long as you send somebody a check, I've heard estimates, you know, from the right and the left, and they're slightly different, but. Let's just say nobody's under 50%, or is over 50%, and how much of this is actually for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this whole, but because everybody's getting a check, I mean, how can I put it this way? How, you know, weak can we be? Yesterday I went through the numbers, you know, the amount of households and the average check a household will be getting. Well, here's a question for you, you two learned sages. If the median income for a household is $69,000 or let's call it $70,000 to make it easy, and the households that are going to get this money is anything under $160,000, right? So what percentage are we up to? We got to be pushing 80% of households are under $160,000. I'm thinking.
I was expecting from the numbers. I thought it was 85% of the households were going to get a check.
Okay, so we're in the same area, 85%.
Yeah.
So the other 15% aren't going to get one. Whether they deserve it or not, God only knows. But here's my point. If you divide the amount of the bill by the amount of those households, I'm going to say the average household check, since there's 2.3% of the people, 2.3 people in a household, right? So that's 1,400 plus 1,400 is 2,800 plus 500 is, say, 3,300 a household is going to be the average check. And if you divide the $1.9 trillion by the amount of 122 million households, you're pushing $18,000. So $3,000 is going to households, and $15,000 is going God knows where. Some in the PPP stuff, deserved or not. But basically, the average person, as they gleefully grab their check, is going to owe back six times as much in taxation at some point. How much can we really... I mean, that is insane, Brendan.
Well, I don't think... I'm not sure about your math.
Where am I wrong?
You're allocating the whole $1.9 trillion to the households.
Where's it going to go?
Right. Well, other parts of it are going to pay for COVID-related relief, like the vaccinations, like setting up things...
we already paid for those. We already bought those.
Things like that. It's... The checks are not the only part of that bill.
That's my whole point. I mean, I'm saying somebody is going to have to pay $1.9 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
the same people that are getting the $3,000 check. What I'm saying is that someday they're going to have to pay $18,000 a family in taxes someplace, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they're winging you 1/6 of that with the inflation to follow, I'm going to say in his next year, a person making the top end, $80,000, gets the $1,400 check. Then the next year, this is going to cause enough inflation to where he's down at least $1,400. In other words, this is just a horse bleep deal all around if you look at the numbers for, mm-hmm. for the average Joe. How can we spend
I think we just have to see how it plays out on the inflation front. I think that's the big wild card right now, is how much inflation is going to be generated from this.
Well, I mean, we have last year, the government spent exactly twice as much as they took in, but probably at mm-hmm. least three times as much as the income tax stuff. I mean, in other words, the real, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm saying there's two pieces of the government, there's more than two, because Trump used to tout his tariffs all the time, but let me get the actual numbers up here. But I'm thinking the total take of the government in terms of income. Well, there's payroll taxes and there's income taxes, right? Or basically the two legs, correct?
Right.
All right. So the payroll taxes, it's not even in the pocket long enough before it's going out, right? I mean, that stuff, you're not going to stop your Social Security checks and so forth. So here we got the government, right? And this is how the world shakes out, as scary as it may seem. Income tax revenue is about $1.6 trillion. All right, so the entire income tax revenue for the year is less than this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what, the third one in the last 12 months?
Yeah.
Okay.
Altogether, we're looking at about $6 trillion in relief bills and packages over the last year.
All right, so that's 3.5 years of income tax revenue. Right, so mm-hmm. we have payroll tax revenue, $1.3 trillion, and that doesn't even cover what you're paying with that, right? Because you've got your extended unemployment and all the other kind of stuff. It doesn't cover regular unemployment, and it doesn't cover Social Security and all the other stuff, I don't think. Your tariff revenue is $67 billion. Your corporate tax revenue is $213 billion. So corporate tax revenue is down to like 7% of the total take, maybe even less, which is pretty incredible when you think about it. Talk about people who have the year of Congress. So someplace, somewhere, these taxes are going to go to the moon. Another question. So the whole trick in this country now, Brendan, this is what bothers the living bleep out of me. I know you're going to tell me I'm over-exaggerating. The whole trick now, no matter what business you're in, seems to be to get government largesse while you pay less, while other people pay for it. I mean, we've got no growth.
Mm-hmm.
So the trick is for me to get a huge check or for my business while you got to pay for it. Now, explain to me exactly why I don't want anybody going out of business, but why do I give a rat's behind whether a cruise company goes out of business? I've never taken a cruise. I'm never going to take one.
I agree with you. I think that some of the disparity that we're looking at right now with the way the economy is set, but it also, on the other side of it, you have to look to see how to allow businesses to survive at all, some of the smaller businesses in particular, because I do think that the tax bill that was adopted a couple of years ago really favored corporations and the very wealthy to the detriment of the middle class and the lower classes, economically speaking. And there has to be some fairness there, more fairness than there was before.
Whatever we do, no matter who we elect, we seem to be going the opposite direction. We're not even mm-hmm. middle ground here.
I agree with you.
So the taxes are going to be, I mean, what are they going to be? I mean, are they going to be to what? We're talking about massive amounts of money here. I mean,
there are going to be huge increases in the next couple of years, I think, in on the tax side.
So who exactly is going to pay it? The same guy who's making... go ahead.
I think the start of it is going to be a reversal of the tax cuts that were pushed through Congress a few years ago under the Trump administration. That'll be a starting point. It won't be the ending point. I think it's going to have to continue to go a lot harder and a lot more painful, and will include taxes, tax increases on those who receive a lot of the payments for these relief bills. The theory is that in a couple of years, the economy will have rebounded, more people will be working, more businesses will be operational again, and therefore will be in a better position to pay it than they will be to just take the government largesse. I don't know whether that's going to happen or not, but I think that's the theory.
That's been the theory since Ronald Reagan, and it's never worked once.
Well, there's a difference, I think, here in this case, that so much of the economic downturn has been beyond their control. And because so many businesses like restaurants, hospitalities, airlines were forced to shut down because of the virus, they will be able to return to business in relatively short order. And if they can survive to keep the doors open, then they'll start generating more income, which will raise taxes normally without any tax increase in a legislative bill.
Well, I mean, I guess we need, I mean, this is the part that I don't quite get. At one level, we need bars and restaurants. We really don't care who runs them. All right. We don't give a rat's behind whether, the place downstairs in my building goes under. We figured it someday somewhere, somebody's gonna open up another beer joint somewhere and everybody can have a beer, right? And we don't care about that guy, really. We did the PPP a little bit, but that only covered him through June. It's a long time since last June, right? No, but we seem to really care about United Airlines and every single person there getting paid. Why? I mean, there's going to be another airline.
Too big to fail.
Yeah, well, I mean,
too big to fail. That's the same argument that was raised back in 2008, 2009, for a lot of the banks and the auto industries. They're too big to fail. The economic hit was deemed to be too big if any one bank, if Chase Bank went under or United Airlines went under and couldn't be saved, then that was supposed to be too big of a hit on the economy. Now we're looking at a situation where it's the aggregate amount of small to middle income businesses that are collectively too big to fail, and there has to be a way to save them.
Okay, but what do we really have to pay everybody in United Airlines the same amount they were paid before when they're running a third as many? Well, we do.
I agree with you on that point. I don't think that there's a reason to do that, and I think that in some cases, some of the businesses, especially larger businesses, whether it's the airlines or not, other examples, didn't prepare for this properly and are getting much more than their fair share in this.
Well, I mean, I guess I think the lobbyists have cut down on their hourly rate.
I don't think so. They're working harder now.
Yeah.
They're working harder, so they have to increase their rates, not reduce their rates.
I see what's happening, Brendan, and I see a big old mess, even though our market's up today. I don't know. I mean, you talk. Tell me what, you see me complaining. You don't disagree all that much, but you don't seem to see another way. Is there another way?
Well, I think the hope really is that the economy bounces back in a way that when you're talking about the income tax revenue flow to the Treasury last year, if more people go back to work and more businesses start to come back, and I'm talking primarily about things like the hotels, the hospitality industry, and service industry, then people who are no longer working in those areas because their businesses are shut down will start to pay more taxes, will generate taxes, so that, let's say it was $1.3 trillion that was received last year should go up. Because more people are paying taxes instead of getting monies from this relief bill.
But I don't think these numbers are...
start.
These numbers are actually... They're as high as they were in 2018, because we got a lot of stock income, capital gains taxes. I don't think they're down.
There should be more income taxes as more people go back to work and are able to go back
to work. Right, but my point is that you're sounding like 2019, the numbers I'm looking at, that they would normally be $2 trillion, but they weren't. This is as high as really they've ever been. There was some drop last year, but I think it was made up a little bit. But in other words, it's not significant.
Okay, then that pushes a hole in my theory a little bit.
No, but you're right. When people go back, it's going to go up. But But it's not like, you know, we were 2.4 trillion in 2018 and we're down to 1.6. I mean, that's not, those aren't the numbers at all.
Mm-hmm. What were the corporate tax revenues before the Republican tax bill from a few years ago?
I think they're probably still, they got some of the stuff coming over from Europe. You know, this, I'm looking at the last year. I could mm-hmm. go back, but I don't think they ever were like, they've been down low no matter what. It doesn't, well, that's the thing. I gotta believe that the places they put under were paying their taxes, and I don't think Amazon and the rest of these guys are.
That's exactly the point that I was trying to get to, that when you've got more people paying taxes, the disparity should flow. But you're right, when you look at companies like Amazon or other very large multinationals, they're not paying their fair share in taxes. You know, when you've got a billionaire paying $750 a year in taxes, there's something wrong there.
I don't know that I don't see how, even if we had people that cared, and I'm going to say these people don't care. All they care about is their own paycheck. Speaking of which, have you been reading all the stuff about Elena Chao?
With the business deals in China and her family?
Yeah, that's special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The reason why she was able to do it, Maddie, is because as an Asian female, she has to take care of her family, and she would lose face with her parents if she didn't get them a deal. Wasn't that what she said, or something incredibly stupid like that? What if a guy said that? What about an old white guy like you and me said something like that? Man, my dad would never forgive me if I didn't get him a deal from the government.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would land that well, would it?
I don't think it would.
I guess, Brennan, I'm trying to be, believe it or not, I'm trying to be a cup half full, because I do think things are turning around here some. And being the Americans that we are, we'll find a way at some level for people to do something. But I think so much stuff has to happen here so fast. I don't see it happening, because I don't see people trying to inflate your way out of this thing. I mean, if the I'm looking right here at the U.S. debt clock, and first of all, I don't believe these numbers. I think the median income is probably more like 40,000 right now, but it was 31,000 in 2000. I don't know how you drop a 10%. 6 or 8 or 10% inflation number on that guy who hasn't gotten a raise in 5 years, 10 years.
I agree with you. It's not justifiable. It's not fair. It's not equitable to try to pay for this through inflation.
Well, nobody liked what happened on January 6th. I mean, I think it was disgusting. People going to the Congress and all kinds of stuff, but. Let me ask you this, as a very nonviolent Southside guy like me, how far away are we from just getting really tired of having people lie to us about numbers and stuff and just keep paying the freight for other people? I'm getting real tired of it. I was never violent to start with, and I'm too old to run down the street with a gun now, but I mean, these guys come out, I almost want to shoot the TV. I'm reaching that point. I mean, I'm the only one, I'm the slowest angry guy there is. But I'm getting really pissed. Just saying.
I think there's a lot of that, and especially when you look at a place like Illinois. I mean, when you look at the population shift in Illinois, for example, that's because people are voting with their feet. Unfortunately, we can't do that on a national level because you're talking about what's going on a national level. But I do think that you're going to see a dramatic shift in where people are going to live in the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, you know, I'm not, Maddie knows this, even though he thinks I'm getting more center. I'm not really all that interested in what the people from North Dakota think, but I sort of never was. I tell you what, I have no reason why some poor guy in North Dakota, maybe he's probably not poor, why he should have to bail out somebody in Illinois who's got four pensions. You know what? If I'm that guy, I'm going to secede. Why is that any business of his? Why should he have to pay mm-hmm. some stump here who's sitting at home with four pension checks?
Well, that's true, but it's not everybody in Illinois who's sitting here with four pensions. There's a small minority of people who have abused the system and who calculated how the system would work in their favor and are taking advantage of that, but that's not everybody. I think for everybody that you're mentioning who's got the three, four, five pensions because of the way they manipulated the system, there are 20 to 30 people who are barely making a buy on their pensions. I mean, the average pension in Illinois is the last time I saw it was something like $30,000 or $35,000 a year. It's not the guys there's not a preponderance of people. There are quite a few, but there is not a preponderance of people who are making the multi hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in pensions.
Well, except I had years ago I had a conversation with my, actually he's my age, Brandon. He's my mother's cousin. Kind of the odd way that family came down. My mother's mother was the youngest and had kids early, shall we say, while her mother was still pumping them out. Is that a politically correct way? Anyway, so, and he's one of these guys that worked for Columbus, City of Columbus, and he's, what do you call the guys that, they're not plumbers, but they work at like the big plumbing stations and stuff? They're like plumbing engineers.
They're not stationary engineers?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they probably, you know, could go fix your faucet, but basically they're trying to figure out how to make sure the city all gets water. You know, it's kind of a higher level thing. It's like, anyway, he was head of that union and everything. And he goes, we never abused the thing. We never did anything. We got to get ourselves a nice pension. Because I never really made as much as any plumbing company guy or any plumbing engineer would have made. And I said, Johnny, you know, that's old school. You know, that's the truth. You guys didn't make as much as a city employee. And you waited till you were 65 to retire and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, but you know what? You gotta be careful because 5 years from now, you use the word pension, you're the only guy in the room who even knows what the hell you're talking about. Because no one else has got one. So, you know, if you say, well, my pension's only 40 grand, somebody's gonna know it's 40 grand more than I got.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know where we go with this, Brendan, but I mean, it's causing trouble, it's causing social problems, I think, and you would agree with me on that. And how do we fix it? How do we put you in charge of fixing it?
It's going to have to start with something like Chris Walsh, the new Speaker of the House, allowing or forcing a constitutional question at the next election on the ballot as to whether or not to change the constitutional clause that prohibits diminution in the pension for government employees. That's a starting point. And I think I think Pritzker, for example, is paying a heavy price for not going forward with that the last time. I mean, he took a beating with his graduated income tax proposal. And I think in large part that was because he would not put the pension question on the ballot as well. I, for one, would never vote for an increase in the graduated income tax unless I also had the opportunity to vote the question on the pension plan on the Constitution. If he's going to separate those, and I don't think I'm alone in that. I think there are a lot of people who said, even if I were to be in favor of the graduated income tax instead of the flat income tax, if you don't give me the option to vote for the pension clause being removed, then I will not vote for your tax because I don't trust you.
Well, if you don't...
100% agree.
Yeah, but if you don't... we'll talk about that next week, Brendan. Right? Are you in Chicago or are you in Michigan?
I'm in Michigan right now. We're all in Michiana.
Really? So,
yeah.
All right, bud. Well, take care of yourself. Maybe I'll see you one of these days. You know, places are opening up, you know, that kind of thing.
That's right. We're getting closer.
Did you guys get your vaccines?
We did. We got our second shot almost 2 weeks ago. It'll be 2 weeks on Friday. So
you're good to go.
We're 10 days past our second shot.
Well, so you should be good to go, buddy.
We're more than that. It was 2 weeks ago Friday.
Oh, so you're definitely good to go.
So we're...
All right, bud. Mm-hmm. We'll talk at you next week. So hopefully see you soon. SP Futures up 38, NASDAQ Futures up 275. Come back, Mr. Joel Unkannon.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. He's Mr. Brent Weber on the board. S&P futures up 36.75. NASDAQ futures up 264. Dow futures up 158. Just to compare to yesterday, Dow was up 306. Everything on the Dow was up, which is kind of crazy since the S&P was down 21 and NASDAQ was down 310, 2.5%. So, again, we're seeing this big split off. A lot of that has to do with, and maybe Maddie can explain at some point here, what exactly is going on with Microsoft, because they were down, Apple was down. This hacking of Microsoft is becoming a bigger and bigger thing, but I don't pretend to understand it. Over in Europe, the DAX up 41.3%, FTSE up 45.7%, CAC around up 17.3%. Now, in Asia, we had some big down moves yesterday. Nikkei was okay yesterday, but it's up 284 today. It's a full percent. Shanghai down again. They're down 62. That's 1.8%. They were down like 2% yesterday. Hang Seng came back some, up 232.8%. So pretty interesting volatility over in Asia, and that even amongst themselves, which is kind of bizarre. 10-year, minus 0.06. We're down to 1.52. It's one of the reasons why we're bouncing here a little bit. Bund, minus 0.32. Which is, down 5 points. It was up into the minus, it was up to minus 0.27. I'll never get used to saying something is up when it's still minus. Japan 0.13, which is unchanged. Oil, up another 50 cents, 65.56. Brent up, 71 to 68.95, trying to get over 70 bucks. Natural gas down a penny at 265. RBOB 207, and if you haven't noticed, the gas is up here 50, 60 cents in about 3 weeks. Gold, up 25 hours, 1703, back up over 17, but it's still down at the very low end of the range. Silver up 47 cents, 25.74. Copper down 6 cents at 402. And we got crypto, big rally in Bitcoin, well, pretty big rally, up 2200 to 53,892. Maddie, what do you have for us, Travis Weather Sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a decent start here on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. We do have some delays on the Stevenson. There's some road construction on the exit ramp to the Dan Ryan. Work reduces the exit ramp to the inbound Ryan. This is going on until later this summer, as Chiefs talked about on the show before, but it has some building congestion on the inbound Stevenson due to that.
If you look real close, you might find three people working on it.
Yeah, no issues on the Eisenhower right now. We do have a crash on the Tri-State, though. It's our only crash in the area on the expressways. Tri-State northbound at Ogden, the crash is blocking the right lane. and has traffic backed up to the Hinsdale Oasis. So you want to avoid that area if at all possible. That's our slowest moving spot right now. Edenson Kennedy looking okay. Southside Expressways, normal traffic volumes, no accidents to report. Weather today, another beautiful late winter, you know, early March day today. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 63. Right now it is mostly clear and 47 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, it's a partly cloudy with a high of 77 today. Right now it's clear and 63. In sports, quiet night last night. NBA is still on All-Star break, and College Hoops is kicking off conference tournaments this week, with the major conferences beginning tomorrow and Thursday. But there was some hockey. The Blackhawks were off last night. They're at Dallas tonight to take on the Stars at 7:30. But the Coyotes played, and they beat the Avalanche 3-2. Chief.
Advantage or disadvantage, Loyola having to sit 10 days?
I don't think it really matters. I think they'll all those guys this time of year are banged up on every team in the country, and they'll have a chance to heal up, so that'll be a good thing. I mean, I don't think it's a negative at all.
All right. So did you find the Illini fight song for Joel?
Well, I just heard a weird sound. I don't know if we just lost Joel. Hold on. Let me check.
Maybe he heard me say that, and he ditched us. Anyway, individual stocks again. We've got Boeing up 259. We got Apple finally bouncing 243. It's one of the Apple's one of the largest holdings of a couple of the places that I do subcontract work for, the Protected Index Program. And, boy, the people there are not happy with the Apple coming down this much. And it really hasn't had this kind of a drop in a while. Joel, you hung up when I mentioned the Illini fight song?
You know what? I was trying to adjust the volume on my phone, and I actually turned it off. Were you doing the Illini fight song?
We tried to find it, but I wouldn't even recognize it, but I figured you probably would after that game.
Chief, I'm beyond worried about my Michigan Wolverines.
I think they'll be fine.
Couple things. We lost the state, obviously. State needed the game. In and of itself, it's not that big of a deal. But Eli Brooks went down. And he's just the glue. He's our best defensive player. He just managed to get these open layups. He sprained an ankle. The game was about tied, but he went on a 10-3 run. We never recovered. I did like the way Zeb Jackson backed him up, but big injury there. And the thing that bothers me more is, like, I haven't heard a word. So I'm thinking he could be done for the tournament. He could Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament. He might be done. I don't know. I haven't heard. And then Franz Wagner tweaked his ankle on the last play of the game. So the injury bug, maybe we peaked too early. Illinois looks great. They beat us without, what's his name, Asu Abunu or something like that?
Io DeSumo.
Close enough.
Yeah, him too.
Close enough.
They look great. I'm worried, Chief. What else can I say?
Well, the kid and I've been watching a little bit of Drake because I've been watching Loyola, and he messed up his ankle, and he was supposed to be back for the weekend games, and he wasn't. And I'm wondering if they sneak a bid. I wonder if he's going to be there too. He was supposed to be 2 weeks and okay, and he's not. You know, so I hope the Michigan guy
ankles
is.
Ankles are bad. I mean, Juwan carried him off the floor. I don't know if that was a precaution, but. Jeez, you know, it's just you hate to have that swoon that late in the season. Perhaps we got a little bit too big for our britches. We're overrated. I don't know if that's the case, but we were. You know, I like the way we played against State on Thursday, but like I said, I'm extremely concerned with Eli Brooks going down. And Illinois looks great.
When I was in college, I tore ligaments in an ankle, which is pretty severe. But remember the orthopedic guy telling me, any kind of sprain, even if it's not a tear, you stretch it. It's something to the ligament. Every ligament injury takes 6 weeks to heal, even if you play on it. It still takes 6 weeks to heal. So, you know, I mean, I'm hoping that these guys can play on it. Plus now I think they do a better job. And plus these kids are younger and in better shape than I was. So it's, good luck to him, I hope.
Sure.
So what's going on in this market? How come we're one day we're going to hell and the next day we're going to heaven? What's going on here?
Can you believe this, Chief? I mean, you've been around with me a long time. I mean, we do have rollover, right, in the futures contract?
Yeah.
So
that does create some little, you know, a little air pockets if they, you know, after you move the positions from March to June. So you're seeing these air pockets, right? But man, this is it's just some creep, like the Dow and the NASDAQ and the S&P. It's like they're not even correlated anymore. Your growth stocks have just been getting killed. You know, your banks are going to the moon. Your oil stocks are going to the moon. You know, the underperformers. Your GameStop's coming alive. It's a bizarro market. And, you know, I'll attribute a little bit to rollover. And then we have, you know, Quad Witch coming up a week from Friday. So it's a tough market. I think that, you know, if you're a heavy day trader, whatever, I think these next two days, man, you either trade a little bit smaller size or just not be as aggressive.
Or you just,
you can't argue with the trend. The trend's still up, right, Chief? I mean, you can't break the trend.
Well, it is unless you're, as you know, I do a lot of, protected index stuff for people, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody, it's funny how retail people are, because I talk to them all the time. this is nothing bad. I'm just saying, when the Qs were going up constantly, God help you if you had that person like in the S&P, right? Because, well, you picked the wrong index, even though, you know, we might have picked it together, or we might split between the two or something like that. I'm not disparaging people. I'm just telling the truth. And all of a sudden, you know, you'll hear, but last year, when people talked about the market, they really meant the FANGs. Why aren't I doing as well as the FANGs? Right? I mean, I've learned to interpret pretty well in my advanced age here. Now when you talk to people is, you didn't do as well, or whoever didn't do as well, because I'm, you know, my stuff is fine. I'm protected. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But, these other guys didn't do as well as the S&P, meaning now that they were in the Qs or they were in the FANGs and they're all down. it's scary that if you don't find the right benchmark to compare yourself to, because now everybody wants to be compared to oils. Yet if I put somebody in oil last year, the oil was straight down all year, right? So everybody wants to be in the spot where the things are moved lately. And if you are managing money for people, Joel, you're going to be judged by the sector that's doing the best, even though, you know, it's scary. Anyway, you know how that works. But
well, you know what my favorite is with people, and you obviously you deal with retail a lot more. Let's say, and I'm just throwing out numbers here. It's not, you know, correlated to anything, but let's say you had a customer that was on long Zoom, right?
Yeah.
And the stock goes up to what? Almost $600. And it pulls back to 550. You know, let's say they're long at 200, okay? Well, the way, you know, when you talk to them about, hey, the stock pulled, you know, $50 off its all-time high, you know, it might have some more downside here, you know, maybe you think of lightening up. And the answer is, well, I lost $50.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It went from 600 to 550. I lost $50. No, you're long at 200. You gave back some profit. So, you know, the retail, you deal with them more than I do. It's tough. It's a tough market. I just say all around. I mean, I try and stay diverse and, you know, big, pretty much index, more S&P than Q. And, you know, it's paid. It paid up till just like a couple months ago. So stick with what you know. Be conservative. And as long as Pump and Powell has got our back, I mean, I don't know. Very hard for the.
But if he loses control, though, it's going to be pretty tough. So I'll talk to you next week, buddy. Good luck to your injured guys. SP Futures up 35, NASDAQ Futures up 260. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-4000. 1-800-288-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@realtor.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
I like the way sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 34 and NASDAQ futures up 251. So Manny, what was the, you guys flew down. What's the scoop on the planes? Is it full?
Completely full.
You guys were Southwest?
Yeah, every seat taken. There and back.
And so everybody's going to Florida because they're open or what?
That's a huge part of it, and just for weather.
So, they don't serve anything on the planes, right? Or do they?
They passed out some peanuts, but no alcohol or drinks.
Really?
Actually, I mean, they passed around waters once, and they passed around peanuts once.
So if they're giving you peanuts, they better give you some water.
So they gave you some water, but yeah, they suspended alcohol and, like, you know, pop and stuff like that.
I'm surprised that they stick with the peanuts, given this peanut allergy thing that's all over the place.
Well, to be honest, it actually really, now that I think about it, it really wasn't peanuts. It was kind of a snack mix, like a Chex Mix type thing.
Okay.
So I guess it really wasn't peanuts.
Used to be peanuts.
Yeah, it used to be peanuts. So you're right. They may have gotten rid of that because of that allergy.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think once it's on some people have it so bad that it's even, like, on the tray, I think they can, you know, if it's in the air, I think they have problems. Some people have it. That's a nasty deal. Anyway, the market, what we're seeing is it's back and forth, but you definitely are seeing differences between the indices. You know, the oil last year, the XLE, was, you know, it traded, I think, down to 28. I had some people in there, and they were not happy with their year, even though we made a lot of that money back. Not all. You never make all. We had made a lot of that money back with the puts, but this thing was, hey, Kenny, I'm just doing a little XLE here. On 8/11 of 2020, the XLE was like 37.50. It went all the way down to 27. Like I said, we have puts on this for our people, Kenny, so you don't lose all the dough, but you don't, when it goes down, you still lose some of it. So we made a low of 26.98 on the 29th of October. And anybody who wanted to be in this thing, I mean, I don't know, I didn't think I had any new clients at the time that said, put me in oil. And it is, well, it's almost exactly doubled since then. Maybe slightly less. And I don't, I'm happy for that, but some of the stocks, like the Schlumberger's, it's back to 30. That was a $70 stock. It made it down under 20. They've come back, but, the thing's still not 78 or 80 like it was. I mean, do you think that keeps going? I just feel nervous putting stuff in the banks and in, you know, the banks are, how much are they going to get from government largesse, and how much the government can allow them to steal, in my mind. But I don't know, I have trouble with that one. I have had people in the XLF is the banking part of the S&P. I don't know, what do you think of those two, Kenny? I mean, I don't know.
Listen, I think both of those are going to continue to do better. I think energy is going to continue to do better. I think they're going to talk it up. Look, I said this the other day. Oil's up at the gas tank. I went and filled up my car on Friday night, and I tweeted this out, and I got some trolls who were actually, you know, gave me a hard time. But I was paying $3.29 a gallon for oil, for gas, right? Just regular gas, not even premium, just regular gas. And I made the note that that's up a dollar in the last 5 weeks, from $2.25 to $3.29, which is a 43% increase. And the point is, I was trying to show the increase, not the $3.29, but the increase in oil. And the summer hasn't even come yet, right? We were still in early March, and so the demand, you can feel it from this recovering economy. People are going to travel. People are going to go places. Goods are going to continue to be shipped. In fact, you know, all you see is great, great, great economic data all across the board. Well, this takes energy to move all this stuff, to move people, to drive cars, to drive trucks, FedEx, UPS, DoorDash, Lyft, Uber, all of them, right? And so I think oil is going to continue to rise. I think gas is going to continue to rise. And so, therefore, yes, I think some of those names, like you say, Schlumberger, I think that's still a buy. It's why I think it closed at $29.70 a share last night. So I do think there's still upside in the oil sector. And look, the Biden administration is putting pressure on the U.S. oil industry, so they're cutting supply out of the U.S. We were the largest producer and exporter of oil under the two prior administrations, and now they're trying to bring a halt to that. So that's going to take supply off, which is only going to force prices higher. And the Saudis, apparently, they aren't really ready yet to open up the spigots. They're holding production cuts where they are, which is only going to see oil go higher. So I still think there's room in oil, and I think as the economy improves, there's going to be room in the financials, right? I think that's been money that struggled for a couple of years, but I think their day is coming. And so, yes, those are two sectors that I also own, that I continue to think are going to do better.
Well, I think, Kenny, that Vic, from knowing what the world was like in 1971, which most of the listeners probably don't, but the inflation that you can lie about, you can lie to people that are getting the company to pay for their hospitalization, okay?
Correct.
But if you start talking about gasoline up a buck in a month, you can't hide that.
That's cool. Well, that was my point. And I got people on Twitter who were taking a shot at me saying, stop complaining. It's not like you can't afford it. Dude, that wasn't the point. The point is the percentage increase. They missed the whole point completely. I was trying to, exactly your point, is that we're up 43% in a month. What's going to happen in July when there's real demand out there because people have been vaccinated and they get in the car and they want to go to the beach, they want to travel the country, they want to put themselves in an RV, they want to go camping, they want to go vacationing, they want to go fly to Europe, they want to go wherever they want to go. And so, you know, I agree with you. And so for everyone to say, oh yeah, there's no worries, no inflation, Janet Yellen came out yesterday and said, oh no, it's all misplaced. Really? Have you been to the supermarket lately? Have you seen what's going on with commodities and copper and housing and lumber and wheat and pork and oil and soybeans and corn? Has anyone paid any attention to that?
You sound like you're... Is there some Irish in you? Because I tell you what, I can't...
No, but I did have three large cups of coffee this morning.
Well, I always thought it was my Irish side, not my Italian side, that absolutely bristled when people that I'm paying lie to me. If I'm not paying them, I guess they can lie all they want. It's America. But I don't really want Janet Yellen and Powell lying to me.
Well, okay, but look, here's what they have to do. First of all, Powell and the rest of the Fed talking heads are now in lockdown, right? Because they can't speak now ahead of the FOMC committee meeting, which is on, I think it's March 17th, right? Which happens to be St. Patrick's Day, by the way. I think that's when the next FOMC meeting is. So they've all gone quiet. So now they need someone jawboning the markets into stability. And who better to do that than the former Fed chairman, who's now Treasury Secretary?
Who made?
They parade her out. Listen, she's 70, X, whatever she is, 75 years old, 34 years old, but she's got a calming voice. She looks like your grandmother. She's trying to get everyone to calm down. And none of those are negative. Those are all positive, right? Because who else would you use? She's very well respected. People, you know, she certainly understands what's going on. But my guess is when she comes out there and she says that inflation is, you know, misplaced, concerns about inflation, I honestly don't buy that. Well, and I don't buy it because I live in a world where I see every day, like you, the cost of everything is going up. okay, the price of the television's come down. That's great. How do you want me to serve that? Parmigiano, or how do you want me to serve it? You can't eat a television.
So what if they're, what if, and I ask, or somehow I hope they aren't, but what if they're totally wrong, which I give about a 90% chance? Do we get to do something to them? I mean, I'm not. I mean,
no, that's the sad part.
Do we get
that's
to cut the pension? I mean,
what they'll say is no, because what they'll say is, look, we were in unprecedented times. We've never done this before. Nobody really knows what the outcome's going to be. So, no, what are you going to do to that? You going to hold anyone responsible?
Well, we were in unprecedented times during the Great Depression, and they elected to not triple the money supply and say they were doing good when they weren't. And now people are trying to do that. And you know what? There's enough history of what they're doing not being the right way to do it that if they just ignore it. Because the interesting part, here's the part, Kenny, that some people are really doing well with this.
Correct.
And so it's favoring, you know who really did well with all this? It's Janet Yellen. I don't know if I was ranting. Hopefully I didn't rant at you. That lady has no more business in that job after making $7 million from the people that she is supposed to be regulating than my dog Scruff if he was still alive. Honestly,
yes,
she has no business there.
But who else are you going to put in that job?
There's got to be somebody in this country that is an intelligent economist that isn't, I won't use the term crook, that isn't, shall we say, tainted.
Yes, I understand that, but who else is Biden? Biden, you know, that was a brilliant move for Biden. Why? Because she is well-respected. She was the head of the Fed. She has credibility. She can talk to the range of people and try to calm everyone down, which is exactly what she did yesterday. But I agree with you.
Let me ask you, listen,
I got nothing against her. I think I've been at her seminars. I've heard her present. I think she's great.
As an individual, Kenny, you've met her. I haven't. I'm right with you. I'm saying she has no business in that job, given the fact that how do I know that she didn't get $7 million for not regulating people when she was the Fed chairman?
Right.
I mean, it's just not something. If you're out there, I happen to think more highly of you than I'd ever tell you on the air. But I'll tell you what, if I found out that you just made, you know, bazillion dollars in consulting from Schwab and some other place, I couldn't put you on the SEC board.
I agree.
So why are the rules different for you than her?
Because you and I aren't making the rules. That's why.
But I mean, she's in my mind, she's no longer respected. Just saying.
Well, see, I don't know. See, I would argue that. I'd say she's got a ton of respect from, you know, not only people in government, but I think, you know, economists, I think people in the academia world, I think people, you know, I do think that she has, obviously, she has the credibility. Clearly, you can't argue that, right?
And I'm saying I would never.
But I'm not sure that she's the right one. Listen, she's great, and it rounds out her resume, and it's all wonderful. I get that.
You didn't have the
and
same
I get the fact that she's got that soothing voice.
Well,
right?
She does.
She's going to try to calm the markets, and I think that's what happened yesterday. Is that, you know, she told everyone don't worry, but I think the market said really that's bullshit because they sold tech off hard. And they went into the value names,
right,
and cyclical names, which are names that will benefit in the improving economy, whether inflation rises or not. The ones that are going to hurt the most are the high growth names.
Well, for the moment, but then all of a sudden the money keeps pouring in. Somebody's going to say they're a bargain, and then next month they'll come up.
Right.
I mean, as long as at the end of the day there's checks on everybody's desk they have to spend, it's going to keep going until Powell loses control and people think, who is this buffoon?
Well,
and if that happens, then you got a problem.
And I think that's the fear. By the way, just speaking of that, just here's another thing. Because, you know, they're getting ready to pass this COVID-19 relief bill back in the House and send it to Joey's desk for his signature today. Did you see the news out this morning that they took a poll and 50% of 25 to 35-year-olds are going to use the money to invest in the stock market, which means they don't need the money. Because the money was a relief bill to help people get through a difficult time. If you're going to take that check and put it in the stock market, that means you don't really need the check.
Kenny, this is the prime rib dinner where you and I are at the table and we flip the dog the bone. The people getting the check are the dogs. It's 20% of the bill.
Listen, I'm coming out to Chicago because guess what? Things are opening up. The world is a better place. People are being vaccinated. And you and I are going to sit down and have that steak dinner at your favorite steakhouse in Chicago, and we should broadcast it live. It'll be like Titans at the Table, right? We'll be able to talk about all this.
Are we going
to
bring Matty Weber?
Sure, we bring Matty Weber. I love Matty Weber. Of course we bring him.
All right, I'm just saying, you know, we could. You said it was going to be exclusive. Now we're bringing Matty Weber.
Well, listen, we'll just pass Matty the bill. He can pay the bill. You can be the exclusive.
All right, buddy. Matty, take care of yourself. SP Futures up 33, NASDAQ Futures down 258. Right back, Mr. Jeff Joseph.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Jeff Joseph with us as well. SP Futures up 34, NASDAQ Futures up 265. Jeff, how are you, bud?
I'm all right, Chief. How are you?
I'm hanging. Kenny's got me all fired up here, though.
Yeah, I miss that. But I did just, I was just reminded by your opening sequence there how manic that is with the Simpsons and the Stocks and Jocks right here right now. You know,
yep, well, right.
It really gets you fired up. So how did he get you fired up?
Well, I actually got him. He said he had three cups of coffee ready, and it showed. But
and you know he's drinking that strong Italian coffee.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
But aren't we all?
He's coming to town, and he's clamoring for a steak dinner, and I'm thinking we might lob one out to Jeff on this. What do you think, Manny?
Hey, you can do it now. Yeah, the CDC said you can get together with friends, so I think that's comforting, right?
Like we haven't been doing that anyway.
Yeah, that was nice of them.
It was nice.
It was nice. That was a nice thing.
You know, I think they said that Manny could go to Florida with his wife, too. Isn't that nice, Manny?
Yeah.
It's always good. Anyway, we were kind of debating in the last minute as we had a little time left because you were coming in. The Janet Yellen situation, and Kenny says that she's amazingly well respected. She's got the soothing voice, blah blah blah, and he's met her, and I would guess that she's probably very charming, and all those kinds of things. Yet, Jeff, I don't know. My background is just. I mean, I bet Kenny's is pretty close to mine, really, but my background is just so different. I don't see how the hell anybody could get appointed for that job after taking all the money that she took from the people she's now supposed to regulate. I don't see how you do that. I mean, I mean, but doesn't anybody care about these kinds of perceptions anymore? Evidently they don't. I mean, I know I get a feeling like I'm the one sheep in the field and everybody else in the other field looking at me. I mean, am I that far behind the times? I think I must be.
No. I hear you loud and clear. Can't disagree, but hey, that's half the case for term limits, right? And I know this is an appointed position and doesn't apply here, but it's why the people have frustration with government.
You know? What, I mean, as you know, I don't have the same views on term limits, the hard views.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But that doesn't mean...
I brought it up just to provoke.
No, but it doesn't mean that I'm trying to be Spock here. I understand where you're coming from. And in this day and age, it might be the easy fix, okay? But I don't know that it ought to be the fix because
I try getting the majority of politicians to vote on that.
Well, but I'm saying I'd love to argue with you and all the rest of the guys on the show. I have the utmost respect for the people who call on the show. The last thing I'd want is if you and Lou, two of the most honest people I've ever met, I don't know if you'd agree on anything with Lou, two of the most honest people I've ever met, if all of a sudden, after 6 years in the House, you were forced out of there, if I thought you were doing a really good job and so did everybody else, I think that's a travesty if you wanted to do two more years. Yet, I also understand where you guys are coming from.
Sure.
But my question to you is, and I don't know if we maybe talked a little bit about it last week, I honestly believe that a lot of really good people, I mean, we're not talking about Illinois, but a lot of really good people go to the House. That actually in their district are good people. They've been in business. Not that you have to be, or been an educator, or been an attorney, and they actually think they can help, and they get elected, and they go there with all the right intentions. I honestly believe that. I mean, if not, then I don't know what we do about democracy. And they're there for a while, and a lot of them leave pretty darn soon. The turnover is a lot bigger than people think. You look at Pelosi and you think nobody's out of there. That's not the truth. The younger people are in and out fast. My question is, after three or four terms, how all of a sudden, who do you have to co-opt yourself with to you are one of the 10 people that seem to be there forever? They seem to have just buckets of people they owe. You wonder what their motivation is. They're so different from these young people, that, you know, maybe not even young. It could be an older guy that goes his first time and retires and what. But the people, when they go there, and I think are somewhat willing to do something for the population, and then you get the Pelosi's, the Schumer's, and the McConnell's of the world, and you, somewhere there's a river there, and if you cross it, you get to the spot where every lobbyist is your friend, and your back pocket just gets stuffed with dough. How does that happen, Jeff? How many terms does it take? I mean, there's a huge difference to the people I've met that were their first or second term there in Nancy Pelosi. And I think there's a big difference between a couple of senators I've met and Schumer and the other guy, McConnell. Look at McConnell's wife. Look at the disaster she's doing in the scandal following her now. In Elena Cho. I mean, he doesn't care. He thinks that's part of being in his job. I mean, what's the defining line between the good people that give it 2 and 4 years and say, I'm not doing anybody any good and leave, and the people that hang in there and all of a sudden become these albatrosses? I think you know more about it than me. Where does that happen? How does that happen?
Well, again, my take on that question would be, it is a directly correlated to how good you are at playing the game. And unfortunately, the game's not governing or doing the people's business; it's fundraising. And because you know, it's been well stated that approximately 1/3 of the time you spend immediately upon being elected to the House or to the Senate is spent on fundraising. 1/3 of your time is spent raising more money for next election. And then that longevity has to be a direct result of your skill there. So that's the differentiator. Your skill in staying in the game becomes what determines who stays and who doesn't. Now the 115th Congress, I think it was, right? That would be the, as of 2018, there was a survey, and the survey said that the average length of service at the beginning of the 115th Congress was 9.5 years for senators, for representatives and 10 years for senators. So while so or it was 10 and 9 the other way.
What,
it was
did they
9
say,
and 10 years for senators and representatives respectively.
Like did they
respectively?
Did
so
they get,
first of all that's longer. So yeah, there might be turnaround on the guys who come in quickly, and you're right about that's the most common point of entry is through the House. Obviously, there's more representatives, first of all, and secondly, it's easier to get elected, you know, than being a senator. It requires significantly less capital.
I'll bet you
less
a beer
investment to get elected.
I'll bet you a
but
beer at the
as of 2018, the average length was 9 or 10 years.
I'll bet
so
you a beer that
there might
the
be turnaround in those early guys, but and think about that. If your contention is still accurate, and it can be because that's the way numbers work, and there's high turnover within, you know, one or two terms of the new guys coming in, think about the guys who've been around for 20 years plus that are offsetting that number to bring a 10-year average.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think the median number would be a lot different in the House.
Sure. Yeah, well, that's only 3 years ago. That's only 3 years ago, those numbers. So it appears to be the game. So it goes back to your question, you know, what's the difference? And the difference is how good you are at raising capital and playing the game. And the game is not doing the people's business.
Well, the I'm going to say, I'll be like, who's the judge that knew everybody, who knew what everybody was thinking at the Constitutional Convention, Republican guy who croaked in Texas, tell us his name. Salito. What's his name? The Republican guy, the big round face. His son's a judge, though. The guy who died in Texas, the conservative guy.
Oh, Limbaugh?
No.
Wait.
Limbaugh.
Who you did?
The Supreme Court Justice. He was a champion of the conservative side, brilliant guy. But he always would tell you.
Alito?
No. Alito's still there. Alito's still there.
Yeah.
Alito was his replacement, I think. That was his name. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Guy with the beard. I can't believe I forget the guy. I can stare. I'm
that's
staring
right.
at his face.
That's right. I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm staring at the guy's face.
But
he would say that, you know, he knew what the constitutional people meant. I think that if you and I ran against each other in the 12th district, hopefully we'd be friends and we were done running. Maybe, I don't know if that works or not anymore. I think people should be able in the district to give us dough. We should run. We should give an accounting of who gave us the money, put it on our website or publish it somehow. And I don't have any problem with that. The problem comes if I see a huge check from Pfizer coming to Jeff Joseph. I'm going to sit there and go, I don't know if that's fair necessarily. What has Pfizer got to do with us? And I think that that's kind of what's happening. And by the time you get up to the top of the ledger, the biggest pack, I'm going to say, when the hell was I on the board? In the early 90s. One of the biggest PACs, certainly, that designed it for, you probably know this, was Dan Rastenkowski. Because he always ran unopposed, and people gave him money from his district and probably other places, but he was Speaker of the House. And he used his PAC that if you needed something, if you were a Democratic guy running in North Dakota, you know, he'd send you a couple of grand if he thought you needed it. And it probably gained him like one favor or something. I don't think he thought he bought you for life for a couple of grand, but I mean, there's always stuff like that going on a little bit, but at least that you're getting it like from your party. But this idea that all of a sudden all these big corporations are funding you and me in a Western Illinois election. I mean, what do we owe these guys, Jeff? Or one of us is going to win. What exactly do we owe Pfizer? Do we owe them, you know, a 2-year patent extension on Viagra? I mean,
you mean after they
funded
12% of your campaign?
Yeah, and somebody would say, you owe them enough to pick up the phone. Well, you know what, Jeff, that's BS.
Oh,
no,
Scalia? You're talking to Scalia.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, that was bugging me.
Yeah, me
Scalia.
Too.
Yeah.
God, how could we forget that name?
Yeah.
But the idea that buys you access, that's such BS. It's got a couple of million bucks. Better buy you more than getting the phone line, or nobody come up with that kind of dough. I mean, what does it buy you? I mean, where these guys are they're carved up even going in. They got this kind of money that they, I mean, what if I'm 30 years old, all of a sudden I get some huge check from these people or all the people in their place, and I don't even know these guys. I'm from Western Illinois. What do I think I owe them? Do I send the check back? What do I do with it?
Well, you don't send the check back because, you know, it's a race to raise money, and it does buy influence. It buys, you know, access, at least. Influence is, there's a big step there between access and influence, but you know, if you turn the money down, you've just shut off that spigot. In a house race, money is going to be the differentiator to see how competitive you are, because money makes a difference in a house race. It makes a big difference. And I don't think it's a fair bet to assume that money doesn't buy access.
Look at this bill that's coming out now. I mean, there is, I've heard from the left and the right, various estimations of how much of it is actually for COVID.
Sure.
And those estimates range from 9 to like 20%, depending on if you're left or right. It's not 70, it's not 80. So somebody buried in here, and we also have seven drug companies that have already gotten paid for 100 million doses apiece. I think it's seven, it might be six, but a lot of this money's already been spent. And now we got another $160 billion going for vaccines and gloves. And have you heard of a shortage of gloves anywhere, or a shortage of masks?
No. And I wonder what the markup on those would be, too. You know, you could imagine. In fact, I told you during our last show that I spoke to somebody in New York who was bragging about the fact that political influence and connection allowed him to take PPP money, open up a factory in upstate New York, and he is now selling protection gear to the government. So, and that's because of his political influence and connection. Who knows what that markup is?
Let's just say, right. Grandpa Joseph, if he would have had that kind of connection, could probably even done better than that, because in a resolution trust, the government, if you came up with, you know, say $2 million, they would loan you 80 to 90% on that to pick up these places that are coming out of the savings and loans and so forth at like 15-20 cents on the buck, maybe 12.
Yeah.
But if you really were influenced, they lent you the first $2 million to get you the other 90%. God's sake, talk about setting you up for life. What if you and I back then, if we could have been, I've only been there once, and I stayed somewhere else because it was too expensive. You ever stay at the Phoenician?
At the Venetian
Phoenician,
or the Phoenician?
Phoenician in Scottsdale.
Yes.
It's quite a spot.
It's beautiful. Yep.
I think that thing went for like 13, 15 cents on the buck coming out of Resolution Trust. Now I'm going to say, you and I could have a nice livelihood running that spot if our downstroke was 15% of what the guy paid for it.
Sure.
Even you and I couldn't screw that up.
Yep.
I'm saying. Although maybe the COVID, I bet the COVID was a struggle for all those places. I mean,
sure.
But I mean, all you need is one deal like that, sets you up for life, Jess.
That's right.
I mean, So tell me.
And that's what political, and you talk about this COVID relief bill, and I think that's a frustration that so many Americans have. Unfortunately, people are just so trained by politicians and media to look through everything through this left versus right lens. Oh, you have to be, you know, if you're a Republican, you're against the COVID relief bill. If you're a Democrat, you're in favor of it. It's so ridiculous, because the whole notion that a COVID relief bill should just be that, a COVID relief bill, it makes a lot of sense, because there's so much in there. Nobody knows where that money's going, but we've been doing some digging over at Luckbox. We're looking at some numbers. Here's something that's just ridiculous to hear. Inside the American Rescue Act, you know, which just granted us $1,400 in a one-time check, which, of course, does so little for the average American, right? There's also a provision that pays federal workers not a one-time check of $1,400 a month, but up to 15 checks, monthly checks of $1,400 a month if, get this, their kids aren't in school. So that's over at Open Books, you know, which is a kind of a transparency site, nonpartisan transparency site, openbooks.org. That data came out of there, that buried in the relief bill is a provision that allows federal workers to receive 15 times the amount of money that an American, and remember now, federal workers received 43 days of unpaid, a paid vacation last year, 43 days of paid vacation, and I forget what the percentage of federal workers that make over $100,000 now. But this is just this insane thing that the, the Democratic Party has made a constituency of federal workers, and they're rewarding them. So the average American, you know, many of which are out of work, and I don't understand what Yellen's talking about when she says she expects a return to full employment, by 2022. That's beyond me, and we can get to that in a second. But so buried in this COVID relief bill, and this is a fact, is that federal workers can receive $1,400 a month for 15 months if they're, you know, as long as their kids are not in school. No parity between the average American and a federal worker.
Jeff, I dug up, I was digging last night and that day, but I was scribbling down a piece of paper. The average family here is going to get, household, is going to get probably a $33,000 check?
$3,300,
you mean? Yeah, right. Well, you, your wife, and then one kid is 2.3 is people in a household, right? So, sure. So it's 14 plus 5. Right? Isn't there?
Yep.
So, and I'm going to say that if you divided the total bill by the amount of households, the number is like 18,000. So you're receiving 1/6 of what you're going to have to make up in taxes in the next 10 years. It's not a good deal. It's not a good deal. I'll say this though, and here's the part you can rag on the left for rewarding their people. Okay. Now, if this was I'm sure if you looked at the last bill, you'd find rewards on the right. But there's also an amazing amount of rewards that seem to be in the middle. And when I remember reading this, I tried to find it for today's show because I wanted to run it by you, and I couldn't find it again, but I think my memory's okay. When they went through the four bullets points, because nobody really knows what's in this thing. You probably do because you got access to this stuff, but the rest of us don't. There was $160 billion for the gloves, the vaccines, the manufacture, even though, as a populace, we're supposed to forget that seven companies already got paid for 100 million vaccines apiece. So that's a pretty fair head start, right? And my first thought when I read that was, these guys are getting $15 a shot. That's not what they usually make. That's not enough. We're going to have to find a way to get these guys more money in their mind, and we will. Well, then, what's his name? Romney comes out with his buddies and said, no, we wanted this bill, instead of being $1.9 trillion, we want it to be $792 billion, something like that?
Yep. 800, yeah.
And so if you went through the list, they were cutting back on the checks, they were cutting back on, they didn't want to give any money to the states, all right, which I think sort of makes sense, to be honest with you. But the one number that was exactly the same was the $160 billion to the people making the vaccine. So to the business chunk of it, the lobbyists were absolutely, there wasn't one dime the Republicans pulled out of that piece. So there's a lot of stuff in here that both sides are getting paid by. You know, I'd probably say the Republicans don't want to give the checks to the federal government, and they probably don't want to give the checks essentially to the states like Illinois that are broke for reasons that have nothing to do with COVID. So that part, I know they don't agree
sure.
on. Yeah. But the other stuff, the companies that have been paying them both for years, they both agreed with.
Agreed, and I don't question that for a minute, which gets back to the systemic fault line here, is that things such as a line item veto do not exist, and that bills are, you know, these opportunistic entry points for any cause or any advocacy or any repayment back to a constituency, and they don't, you know, focus on doing the people's business. So I don't know why a COVID relief bill has to be 400 pages.
Well, to get back to our joust earlier, that if one of us running for representative in the Western Illinois gets a check from Pfizer, here's the time to slip it in there, because nobody's going to know you did.
I'm more likely to get a check from MedMen than
maybe
Pfizer.
but whoever. But I mean, I'm saying, but whoever you are beholding to that they claim all they bought was access, now's your chance. because nobody's going to read this thing, and nobody knows that, that Pfizer got a bonus, you know, 50 million shots for $50 a shot instead of 20. You can slip that one in there or vote for it, and nobody knows.
That's right. That's right.
Because nobody even knows, nobody's going to read this thing anyway, let alone the people in Congress.
So I didn't have the benefit of your earlier conversation, but how do you feel about Yellen's comments?
I have trouble even listening to the lady after making $7 million on the people she's supposed to be regulating. I have trouble.
Well, don't you love the references though to, you know, return to full employment because we see no signs of inflation? Doesn't that just get you rolling?
Think of it as 2 years ago, Jeff. You and I were, you know, we had other people on the show, and I'm sure we're not the only people in the world, but we were sounding this alarm, probably me more than most. But now there's people that are on, even the CNBCs of the world, are on like right before or after these people, showing examples of inflation, and then when they come out, Powell or Yellen, they sound idiotic almost. I mean, nobody can anybody believe them right now? Well, the dog is out of the yard. I mean, right?
You'd think so, but you know, then you've got a 10-year treasury sitting at 1.5%, right? Of course, all manipulated, but
well, at some point, they
still get cover from the data that they've manipulated.
Well, at some point. I mean, this is the part that my biggest disagreement with the younger people, you know, first of all, I'm jealous they're younger, but my biggest disagreement, Jeff, and please grade me on this, is I was alive in business when the Fed lost control. And when you lose control, and everybody says the Fed controls interest rates, the Fed controls short-term interest rate to an extent. But the formula is the real rate of interest plus inflation equals the rate of interest in any kind of a normal society. All right, so you can keep the real rate of interest pretty darn low, but if you do it to a point where you expand the money supply and it pops out on the inflation side, you're talking about a trade where you expect an intelligent man like Jeff Joseph to knowing his dollars are deteriorating by 10% a year, is going to sign up for a 10-year bill at 1.5% a year. You may be dumb enough for like a month to do that, Jeff, but you're going to learn real quick. And the right. market is not going. And at some point, the Fed loses control. And I can maybe next week I'll dig up stuff because I was looking at it last week and didn't save it. There were times where the Fed raised the discount rate like four times in a month back in the mid 70s.
Sure,
they were absolutely out of control. Now, and at that point, if you throw more money at the problem, you absolutely just threw gas on the fire. And they're getting real close to that.
That's right.
I think.
Well, but it's been close to that for years now. I mean, this is, you know, we've got this 40-year market, 40-year trend of with treasuries. It's just amazing how long this.
Yeah. But you haven't, when's the last time you went and your gas is up 60 cents in 3 weeks?
Sure. Exactly.
I mean, it's starting to happen. By the way, Jeff, I hope it doesn't happen because I went through it before. I never dreamed we'd do it again. I mean, it's brutal. And now
and these
now
conversations, you know, speak to raw commodities and consumer goods, and then as you're apt and correct to point out, you know, the increases of healthcare and education costs being the primary components of a household spend that is not reflected in the CPI numbers, but what about the market itself?
Well, that's the thing. Asset pricing,
the stock market. You talk about inflation. You know, I mean, you know, when you look at, of course, you know, we've seen a little correction in recent days, but that's always excluded also as a signal of inflation. When you have assets being inflated to the point where things such as EBITDA becomes a thing of the past, or price to earnings or price to sales, and the, you know, fundamentals don't exist anymore, and you have companies that have no opportunity for profit in any near term, selling in billion-dollar valuations that are unprecedented, that's inflation as well. I mean, how many indications of inflationary activity do you actually need?
There's no spot in the CPI for asset inflation.
Right.
And, I mean, we had a huge chunk
and
of
education
that.
And healthcare, yeah, is underrepresented.
You know, your health insurance has less of a weight than your cable bill. Now, a lot of people aren't paying it, right, obviously.
Right.
Let's continue this after the break, because I think you can make a correlation to the market top in 2000 being after 6 months of pouring money into the system in case Y2K actually happened. It went right in the market. It didn't help people fix their computers. S&P Futures up 33, NASDAQ Futures up 266. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Jeff Joseph as well. S&P futures are up 32. NASDAQ futures up 255. The Dow just ducked under up 100. It was up 99. It was up over 200 earlier. But still, everything is, when you see yesterday's moves, we'll do that right now. Yesterday, talk about a wild day. The Dow was up 306. That's a full percent. S&P down 20. That's a half a percent. And the NASDAQ was down 310, 2.4%. Talk about a winging around of where the money's going. The Dow stocks that people did not like, Apple is down like 4, and Microsoft, again, we'll get Jeff and Maddie to tell us a little bit about this hack into Microsoft that I will admit I do not understand at all. Those guys will make a better stab at it. DAX up 58.4%, FTSE up 20.3%, CAC around up 13.2%, so moderately bullish in Europe. Asia, which was down heavily, today the Nikkei up 284, it's a full percent. The Shanghai, however, down 2 days in a row. Down 62.18. Hang Seng, which was down, I believe, over 2% yesterday, is up 0.8% today. 232. These guys up, down, all in this range. It's really, really, sort of unprecedented. 10-year down 5 basis points, 153. So it's still up there, but it was over 1.6, so it's come back some. The Bund, which was minus 0.29, is now back to being minus 0.33, so it's going down as well. Japan positive 1.13, so they're pretty much steady. Oil, we keep going up here. We were earlier. We're actually over 65. Now we're not. Oil down 9 cents, 64.96. That's a turnaround of about 70 cents in the last hour. Brent up 5 cents, 68.29. That was also up about 70 cents. Natural gas down 2 cents, 263. RBOB unchanged at 205. We had gold rallying 30 bucks, 17.08. It's rallying, but it's still at the way low end of the range. Silver up 52 cents, 25.79. I feel pretty good. I put some people in gold and silver yesterday, so I guess they'll be happy for a day at least. And we got crypto up 25.30 on the Bitcoin. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues to report. That earlier crash on the tri-state is all clear, so that's good news. No resulting congestion from that. But we do have issues on the Stevenson due to that earlier crash. So it's affecting traffic right at the Tri-State and the Stevenson, but that the accident itself has been clear. But slow travel times affecting both I-294 and the inbound I-55. Eisenhower, you're starting to see heavy traffic build there as well, although no accidents to report. Northside expressways have been quiet all morning. Eden's looking good. Kennedy, normal traffic volumes as you approach the circle, but no significant delays on the outbound side. Southside expressways are looking good too. Off the expressways, it looks like there's one crash in the area right now. It's out in the western suburbs. Finley Road at Ogden, which is right at Warrenville Road as well, there is a crash. But everything else is all quiet out there. Weather today, another beautiful early March day today. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 63. Right now it is mostly cloudy and 48 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, mostly sunny with a high of 77. Right now it's clear and 64. In sports, quiet night last night. Bulls are still on the All-Star break. Blackhawks were off. They're back in action tonight down in Dallas as they'll take on the Stars at 7:30 Chicago time. Coyotes top the Avalanche 3-2. Chief.
Yeah, what I was mentioning before the break, Jeff, is I think if you were to go back now, look, if you look at the market where it is today versus, you know, 50 years ago, you're going to say, hey, it should be higher. There's been a lot of growth. A lot of companies are doing well. There's been some inflation in there as well. So yeah, it should be like a hell of a lot higher than it was 50 years ago. But I think if you were to take, I mean, maybe you could do this because you guys have a lot of capability at the magazine, or maybe Russell could do it. I don't have the capability. I should, but I don't know how to do this stuff. If you were to take almost a 40-year chart, maybe even a 50-year chart of growth in the money supply versus movement in the market, I think you'll find, I mean, as Milton Friedman said, the trick of the Fed is to, whatever your growth rate is, which is roughly over time has been what, 2.75 to 3.25 real growth rate. Is if the Fed's job, and this, by the way, this is not easy to do. This is a very difficult job. If you were to maintain money supply growth right at the growth rate number over a real long period of time, you would do the whole world a huge service. Because you wouldn't be adding inflation, you wouldn't be detracting. At times when the world got ahead of you, you'd be retarding it a little bit, and if the world was behind you, you'd be accelerating a little bit. But if you were to take, I honestly believe, the last 50 years, take whenever the Fed went off that number, high or low, for whatever reason, and put about a 3 to 6 month lag on it, you'll see virtually every single short term up and down in the market. And the question is, the lag's probably a little different every time. You will see virtually every non-linear market movement is going to be caused by the Fed. In my opinion, maybe it might be one or two that aren't. And the management of the Fed in 50 years, in my opinion, has been an F paper all along.
Oh, too many. I see a economic libertarian political platform emerging from what you just said, and a new concept called robo-Fed, where the Fed just calculates growth and matches money supply accordingly.
Except it's really difficult to manage the money supply that way, because in our system,
plus growth is a lagging indicator, and
right. You know, but in our system, you and I can create money. We surely could if we owned a bank. I mean, if all of a sudden you plunk $1 million in Marquette Bank or someplace, and Maddie and I go, okay, let's go get a loan for a plumbing company running the Marquette Bank, and we pull out $800,000, say there's a reserve requirement of 20%, which is what it used to be now, I don't think there is one, if we borrow 800,000 because the market's, the economy is good, and we throw the 800,000 now in a, in our checking account, there's now a 1.8 million money, right?
Yep.
So, and then they loan that out to the next guy at 640, he puts it in there. So money can expand very rapidly in our system. So the Fed has to really be on their toes to manage it properly. And plus, in some areas of the country, you have huge drains. One of the big reasons for the Fed is because of, in an agricultural economy, there's a huge drain, and everybody wants to borrow money in the spring, right? And everybody wants to, after the harvest, they want to put money back in the bank. So you have to find a way to even out various areas of the country, so the money that comes from the loans for the farmers in March doesn't all come out of a Centralia Bank. It comes out of other places as well. So what the Fed's job is gargantuan, just to be neutral. Not to mention what it gets to be when they do all the other stuff, which you and I may maybe not. But I'm saying what happened in Y2K. There's no mystery why the top in the market was in spring of 2000, right?
Right.
Look at the money they poured in the last. Not that the dot bomb thing wasn't on its way. They just put icing on the cake in the last part of 1999, because that money didn't go to Jeff fixing his computer. It went in the market, right?
That's right. And then the market expressed that in excess valuations.
Yes.
And keep in mind, well, as you well know, that the dominant thinking at that time was that inflation was dead.
Yeah.
That's what everybody said in 2000, you know, inflation is dead. In fact, so back to your earlier point before the break, yeah, you can see some comparisons between today and 2000. I think because you have the excess valuations, you have this mindset that inflation is dead. The only thing that's different is going into 2000, there was a strong economy.
Right.
And now you don't have that now.
Well, you know what's eerily similar in my mind, Jeff, and because I mean I was in the OEX pit, and PTI was around. We were around since 1991. So, but your people. I mean, I kind of was the funding agent at the time, and I was, you know, I was a broker, but I spent most of my time on the trading floor. I mean, in the OEX, we were worried about the top 100 stocks in the world, right? And at PTI, we had all kinds of people. But actually, the nice thing about PTI is I got a view of, we had all kinds of clients with stocks I never heard of, Jeff. And it was sort of like this, that the stocks that you watch, the IBMs and the General Motors before it went under, those are the world. They got high, but they didn't get crazy.
Sure.
The stuff that was crazy is stuff you never heard of. Stuff that,
right.
You know, I mean,
you know what? That's another good point, actually, when you're drawing comparisons
yeah.
to 2000. To your point, not to step on what you're saying, but agree completely, you had a divergence between those kind of those core bellwether economic stocks and the what was formerly called the large cap stocks, and then you had this kind of a high growth technology sector where there was a big divergence between the valuations of those companies, which you're seeing right now in a very dramatic fashion as well.
Well, it's harder in people's minds. If you got a company, How's that for being on the South Side? If you have a company that is paying, you know, whatever, 4% dividend and growing, you know, 5-6% a year, I'll say a Procter & Gamble type, a Coca-Cola type. Mm-hmm. These are guys that have been around forever. They've always been good investments, sometimes better than others. They get high, you know, you like to get them when they're cheaper, obviously, but they're companies that you pretty much can count on, right? I mean, hopefully people are always going to take a bath and need deodorant, right? We're hoping. So it's really hard to say, okay, that company really, really should be like four times higher, you know, to where the dividend is 1% instead of 4. You might get it up some, but you're not going to. But now, somebody who just bought 1-800 Flowers, oh my God, everybody in the country is going to be using that.
Right.
By the way, there's like not even a way to put. I mean, my God, these guys, you believe the click throughs. Yeah, but they don't make any money. Yeah, but it's all clicks now. Don't even worry about the money part. So,
right.
The same thing has happened. I can't believe the amount of stuff I deal with a lot of clients at some place I do the sub stuff. And these guys will call me and they'll go, well, I got these two stacks. And I'm going, I don't even have them on my screen. What are these guys? And I pull them up and they're like $300. And then I sneak you up for a phone call and I find out they've never made a nickel.
Sure.
And I'm like, this is so late 1999. Which isn't to say that these companies that I haven't heard of 5 years from now are going to displace five of the ones that I have heard of, right? I mean,
that's right.
But by and large, when you start seeing 10 or 12 of them, And they've all been around, or they might have IPO'd 6 months ago at 40 and now they're 400. You can sit there and go, wait a minute. I mean, have they made that much money? And the answer is no. I mean, look at the GameStop. The place sure. went up last week. They were up 100 hours in one day. Was it 2 weeks ago? God, Jeff, that's $7.5 billion in market cap. They don't make any money. I mean, $7 billion is like a lot of dough, even today. You would think. I mean, would you pay $7 billion for that place?
Oh, no, I wouldn't. No, I can buy my buggy web elsewhere.
You know what we would like, though, Jeff, is if we were GameStop, I would hope I could talk you into this. I mean, I'd have to be really out on the edge because I'm not usually this goofy either. But we would be very remiss in not buying every legitimate company we could with our stock.
Exactly, right.
Not with cash.
Change your business model.
Yeah,
right?
Not with cash.
That's your chance to actually acquire a business.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like a SPAC in the making, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's now it's funded, now go find something, right?
I don't think that the two of us walk into the bank and sign our name on the loan to take over another company when we can just say, here, we'll give you a third of our stock that we think is worthless and you idiots think is worth $300. How about if we give you that? And the guy goes, okay.
That's what true?
Didn't who's the true. Guy? Was all, they pissed everybody off? He was. What was William Shatner? Was it? Wasn't Overstock? It was. Who the hell was he? Priceline. Wasn't
oh,
it?
Yeah, Priceline. Right.
Way back when they first came out, and they gave him stock for doing the commercials, and he immediately sold the stock, and that was before 99, right? And didn't the stock like plummet by like 80 or 90%, some huge number, and they were all pissed at him for selling it. And he goes, wait a minute. I didn't think you guys were making any dough. I sold it. And then it was like a decade before they asked him back to another commercial, wasn't it?
I think so.
Something weird like that. But
yeah, it rings a bell.
But I mean, if we could spend...
been following the whole Kathy Wood saga, right?
What is this? I mean, I see her on TV all the time. She could have... I don't know what to say. But she yesterday, they must have caught her by surprise on the camera. Let's put it that way.
I doubt she's being caught on surprise. She's constantly on air, you know.
I'm talking about...
It's a story. I mean, well, it's, you know, there's a broader story here. My skepticism is that, you know, we have this tendency just to either deify or demonize, right? So there's nothing in the middle anymore. Someone's a genius, and then, you know, we call people geniuses too quickly. I mean, what's happening to Kathy Woods right now is, look at Cuomo. Right, it was deified.
Yeah,
you know, just absolutely deified. And now you look at all right. Well, covered up nursing deaths, so possibly. You know, I mean, look at the transition there. But people hold on to these beliefs too. They're not willing to accept any data.
I see her every day. But give
you know,
me,
she's
give
got $17 billion in assets. Right, her funds, her five funds were all up. Well, the core fund, ARK Innovation, was up about 150% last year, and all the other four all doubled, right?
Okay.
$17 billion, and now they're down, you know, they're all down 20% since early February. So, she is going from that deification to demonization, kind of transition that you know we just seem to put everybody through.
Well, I'll give you a.
I wonder where Meghan Markle fits in that continuum right now.
What about your old hero, Elaine Gazzarelli, allegedly caused the 1987
sure.
crash?
Yeah.
Then she made a couple more calls, and they didn't do so hot. But let me just give me 2 minutes here to explain how the Kathy phenomenon works. Okay, if you were to give, you know, Jeff does a magazine. He knows an awful lot about our business too. If you were to hand me, pick a number, a huge number, I'll pick a big number. Somebody walks in and hands me a $1 billion check at Stacks and Jacks. And he says, okay, we want you to beat the market. You know, we don't want any options. We don't want any protection. We just want you to basically pick crap that beats the market. Well, if Jeff is here, because he knows a lot more about these, so many stocks than I do, I'm an index guy. And they don't want me to do indexes, okay? So I can't do that. So I'm going to look at the S&P 100. All right, now, if I go on my machine here, or at least my old machine, I could sit there and say, if I exactly want to match the S&P 100, this thing's going to tell me I got to be 4% Microsoft, I got to be, you know, they'd start from the top ones. It used to be GE, but they're way down the list now. So if we wanted to just match the market, we would put
an
exact percentage. Now, what we're going to say, that's not our job. Our job is to beat the market. So we're going to get
those are actively managed funds,
right.
Supposedly. So,
so
all you do is just gear up the beta by 1.2 to 1.5% in your home.
Actually, that's the modern way of doing it. The traditional way, Jeff, is for you and I to say, literally, I mean, you have the modern way in your mind. I got the old way in my mind. We get to pick one up here. Intel. Intel's should be 1% of our $1 billion, which means we should buy 5,000 shares in Intel, whatever the numbers come out. And you say, wait a minute, Intel sold school. We don't want those guys. Instead of doing 5,000, instead of doing 1% in Intel, we're going to do 0.5%.
Right.
Okay. So, and I say, well, Jeff knows this crap way more than I do in the chip areas. Okay. Fine. Instead of buying 5,000 shares, we buy 2,000 Intel. Then we get to, Salesforce. And I say, gee, I don't even know what these guys do. Oh man, you know, Chief, you're behind the times as usual. Instead of 4%, we got to make these guys 8.
Right.
And that's what you do. You go through that's what you do. And
you just gear up the high beta stocks is what you do.
No, you pick the ones you like. You overweight and underweight. You don't know if you hope they're going to be high beta. You hope they go, but you don't know when you pick them. You hope they are right. So then, one of the stories from the 2000s, I know because I went to do some repair strategy lecturing for these people. There was a guy out of Akron, Ohio, and I will not share the name. He beat the crap out of the market for 8 years, 7 years. He was the Kathy Wood of his time. And he was so overweighted in Cisco from like the day it came public. I'll bet he was 40% Cisco. And so he beat the pants off the NASD every year. The stock went from like $4 to 65 and he was just loaded with Cisco. He was so overweighted that he couldn't think straight. All of a sudden one day Cisco went down to 6. And he never, whatever you're doing, the minute anything turns, you're gonna be the part that goes over the fence last. I bet last year she was amazingly overweighted in Apple and Microsoft. Now this year, because I've been on phone calls lately, why am I still in Apple and Microsoft? The business takes no prisoners. And the same thing that got her the overweighting last year is kicking her in the behind these 3 months. I mean, no matter who you are, Jeff, that's the way it works. And unless you're the person who's so smart to ride Apple to the top tick of 146 and go, I don't like my Apple here. I'll get out of it. Now it's 118. But you point that guy out to me, and I'll tell you what, I've never met him, and neither of you.
Yep.
Because last year, if you weren't in Apple, you were an out and out buffoon. And now if you stayed in it, you're behind everybody, right?
That's correct.
So, hey, what's going on with you and Maddie? What's going on with Microsoft? I've totally missed this. I thought it was a retainer from the people hacked into the State Department. It's not. This is a specific Microsoft.
No, that was, what was that? That was the SolarWinds hack.
Yeah.
And that was expected to be around, that was 100 federal agencies, and that originated out of Russia. But this all, the current evidence is that this came out of China. It doesn't seem to be refuted yet. And this is 300,000 corporations' emails were hacked. This is a major, major, major hack. So, this puts an early challenge on Biden and the State Department and its relations with China. Of course, China's denied any knowledge of this, but Microsoft Exchange was the target of the hack, and 300,000 U.S. corporations' emails were exposed.
Well, it's
a big one. It's a big one. I don't know too much beyond that, but that's only because the story is unfolding, and we just don't know too much. But the fact that China appears to be the culprit, according to everything I've seen thus far, I think is going to create some early compromising situations on State Department policy.
Well, why is you look at this 100 different ways? My brother mentioned to me yesterday. If it's as dangerous, because he's been reading way more about this, I didn't read any of it, that evidently it's filtering, it has the potential. I'm not going to talk about stuff I don't know about. So it had the potential that whenever people who maybe didn't do their updates on Microsoft or did them or something, it's still percolating down through everybody's computer and nobody really knows where it's going to land. And he's stunned that the stock's only down $10. I mean, are they that insulated as a monopolist that no matter what happens to them, they're okay?
perhaps, you know.
I mean, $10 isn't a lot for a 245-hour stock for something that sounds this major.
Yeah. It's a good question. Matt, do you know more? The story's still unfolding, so I don't know too much on this, and you know, there hasn't been a lot of utterances on this yet.
Yeah, I really don't know more. I've been out of town the last 4 days. I read about it. I know that they went after the Microsoft Exchange servers, so that affects, what, 99% of all businesses and organizations?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So this is going to be huge. The initial report said 30,000 organizations were affected. Now they're thinking it may be 10 times that.
Yeah, so 300 less, I heard.
Right? Yeah, so it's still developing, but it's wild. Now, Microsoft has released patches, and they're encouraging everyone to run those if you haven't already, and that should help. But I think it's going to be a long time before we truly know, you know, everything about this.
Maddie, you guys, if we're not speaking out of school, Maddie, his real job is works for a place that does internet security for big firms. I won't mention him, but is this something you guys are, like, really worried about?
Well, I mean, we're worried about it in two ways. Again, I've been out of town, so I'm a little bit out in the dark right now, but we're worried about it in two ways. One, we use, you know, OWA, so for all of our systems. So it's probably affecting us, I would imagine. And then two, we're in a good way. It's a possible sales enablement opportunity where we can reach out to folks and make sure that their systems are updated, as they're doing research and looking into their system. You know, it's a good time for us to call them and ask if they need more, support.
You probably don't want to lead with, yours crashed on the phone call.
No. And I don't know if ours did or not, but, you know, that's something that, you know, we would be certainly a target.
Like, I would.
Where were you, traveling, Matt?
I was in Miami the last 4 days.
1 year anniversary for Maddie.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I was curious about that because that's the world is open. So a friend of mine just, in fact, he's still down there, had his 50th birthday over the weekend, and he posted some pictures of being at a big party, just tons of people outside, and it was an outdoor beach party. And the respondents to the image that was posted was like, where are you? Like, where could you possibly be where there's people? And I knew right away, he's in Florida. I mean, because I'm reminded by a colleague who lives down there that the world's open for business in Florida. So tell me, firsthand, you just returned. Is that the way you see it?
Absolutely, yeah. It was, everything was open. Everything was full. Masks were required, though, when you walked into a place that was indoors until you sat down. And then once you sat down, you could take it off, similar to here. But it was full capacity. And outdoors, it was anything goes. I mean, it was the beaches were packed. The outdoor restaurants and bars were packed. And
there's no masks outside.
And no masks.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. No masks outside at all. Yeah.
And no right. real spikes either. It doesn't
now, of go. Course, there were some people that were shaming this post, like, how could you do this? And my, you know, my response was, you know, you saw the Super Bowl, right? So I was curious about that because there are these people who just want to continue to, you know, succumb to this kind of, this thinking, this fear thinking. I mean, boy, there's so many reasons to be optimistic right now that we've turned the corner because the CDC told us we can sit with our friends now. So there should be reasons. But I mean, the Super Bowl itself, I went and pulled up that data yesterday. Of the 121,000 people that congregated for events related to the Super Bowl, including the game itself, there were only 51 cases of COVID reported. So, you know, Florida, and then even the New York Times, which I think that was surprising to see, the New York Times had a story comparing DeSantis's rising star to Cuomo's falling star. And for the New York Times to do that, that's pretty exceptional. And they made some comparisons. You know, COVID's per capita deaths in Florida, obviously, were materially below New York's. And then they did say, however, you know, there's more cases of COVID in Florida. But yes, you know, the argument could be, yeah, there's more cases, and that's why it speaks to this kind of larger immunity and interaction that is among the population that you're seeing right now, you know, or that you saw this weekend.
The CDC give the okay.
So what's your own conclusion from being down there and seeing, you know, what's going on down there and seeing their data and comparing it to what we're seeing in Illinois? What was your takeaway?
Yeah, my takeaway would be, I think good weather has a lot to do with it. They
yes.
they being outdoors, it's a very outdoor-friendly place, and so everything was outdoors. I mean, you could go inside, certainly, and you would, but there, why would you go inside when you can do everything outside? And I truly believe that. I think if California had Florida's policies, they would have a similar outcome.
Yeah. Did the CDC officially give their okay to sex yet?
Well, Fauci did Tinder hookups a long time ago, so I think that's worth something.
God. All right, Jeff, thank you very much. We covered a lot of ground, buddy. SP Futures up 39, NASDAQ Futures up 300. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.